You can mute right now because I want to just give you talk to you for a few minutes, and we're going to have a meditation and a prayer and meditation, and then we're going to start the workshop. I want to welcome everyone to the Big Book Awakening workshop with myself, Tyla, and Josie, who's also on the screen. And I want to thank Kylie, who's running this, and Jan, who's running it, will be our timer, and Kylie will be running the dashboard for us. And that's, thank you so much. And they will be doing their own workshops after this workshop. And that's one of the reasons they're here. So what we're gonna do tonight is I'm gonna share some of my experience with you of how BBA came to San Diego, how I got BBA. Joe's gonna share some of his, and some way about the way that, and the things that you look for as you go through the work. We will do the first assignment will be given for next week. This is an introduction meeting. We want everyone to meet each other and just kind of ask questions. This is not going to be a workshop that is you sitting there and listening to me or to Joe. This, we want this to be an interactive workshop. It will be an hour and a half workshop, but it will be half of the workshop will be myself or Joe sharing, and the other half will be open discussion. We want you to have an experience with the group. It's very, very important that you guys are involved in this and you're just not sitting here listening to a big book lecture. I don't like that. I don't think it's works well. So that's just something I wanted to say. I want to go around and introduce ourselves too. But first, I want to thank all of you for the commitment of coming here and doing the workshop, because I know you doing the work is going to help other people, just not you. And so many people are suffering in the rooms of 12-step programs. So I'd like to say a prayer, and then we are going to do a 4-minute meditation, Jan. It will be a silent meditation. Will you time it after I say the prayer?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, honey. So I'm going to say a prayer. Everyone, please close their eyes. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the meeting of this group of people. I thank you for your choice of each and everyone to be here. Nobody is here by accident. Everyone is here by your choosing. Please, Father, allow your healing hand to heal us. Touch our souls with your compassion for us and others. Touch our hearts with your courage and infinite love for all. Touch our minds with your wisdom, and may our mouths always proclaim your blessings. Teach us to reach out to you in all our needs, and help us to lead others to you by our examples through mercy and compassion. Amen. Let's do a meditation silent.
That's time.
Thank you. Okay, everyone. I'm going to just share a little bit about how I got BBA, how it came my way, and how blessed I am to have it. And I want to welcome everyone. I want to thank Joe C., my workshop partner, from the bottom of my heart for being willing to do this with me, because he's incredible and he's done lots of workshops, and you're all so blessed to hear him. You know, I have 31 years clean and sober. I have, by the grace of God, my God-given sobriety date is December 26, 1989. I'm a real alcoholic and I'm a real drug addict. I'm not a hard drug addict and I'm not a hard drinker. Everything I do is not, it's to the pedal to the metal. So when I was 12 years sober, which was 18 years ago, 19 years ago, you know, I was dying in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I know this is not an unusual statement, because through the last 18 years, I've taken many, many people through and done lots of workshops. And so I know it's not unusual. It was unusual to me because I never heard of that before. And I was doing everything that ever the program told me. I did Vista Jail for 10 years. I did County Detox for 10 years. I was sponsoring tons of people. I was doing everything, very active in the program. And you know what? I was dying inside. And I was dying from something that I didn't ever hear talked about in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was dying from the unmanageability, untreated alcoholism, dry junk syndrome, something that I never heard. I never even heard of it. I never heard of the bedevilments. And you know, this particular day, you know, I went home and I sat in my bedroom and I have guns. And I sat in my bedroom and I said, you know what? I'm 12 years sober and I want to blow my brains out. And how did this happen? And you know, this happened to where I got to that place happened. It was probably happening, what I want to say, for quite a while, but I'm so able to be in denial about what I don't want to look at in my life that I didn't look at it until I had to look at it. And then I could no longer deny that that's what was going on in my life. And you know, no one had an answer. I would go to people and I'd say, you know what? I'm really struggling. I'm not doing well. And they'd say, oh, this too will pass. Oh, just go pray. Oh, just go do this, blah, blah, blah. And you know what? I was passing and nothing was working and I didn't hear an answer and no one knew, no one even had something that they could tell me that seemed that it would be helpful. And I sat on that floor in my bedroom that day thinking, how did I get here? How did I do everything that this program told me? And I hit what I never heard of, but I hit a sober bottom. And the next day, a gal I sponsor knew I listened to lots of recordings. I loved recordings. And I was meeting with her and she said to me, oh my God, you have to listen to this set of cassettes. Then it was cassettes. You have to listen to these cassettes because you're going to love this guy. And I remember leaving my meeting with her and I put the cassette into my car radio and it was Mark Houston from the Glass House. It was a six, and I know some of you probably have heard it. It was a six set cassette set. I say CDs because it's now. And when that was playing, I swear to you, I had never heard recovery like that in my life. I was blown out of the water. And I to this day, I remember, I just couldn't believe it. Why haven't I heard him? Why haven't I heard this? Oh my God. So I went home and I listened to those till my friends were just calling me Tyler Houston, because I swear I could quote everything on those recordings, because I just had to have every piece that he said because I was so blown away. And anyway, I found him in Texas a couple months later. I found him in Texas and I started working with him and I flew him out to San Diego. And when I flew him out to San Diego, he came here and he brought with him the Big Book Awakening and the Idiot's Guide. And I'd never heard of either thing, you know, and never saw it. So I started to do the work with him. And then a couple of years later, after I worked with him, he introduced me to Dan Sherman, who wrote the Big Book Awakening. And I worked with Dan for 14 years and I worked with Mark for about 5 years. And I want to say this because a lot that you're going to hear me share about on the workshop came from a lot of great people that I pursued. Because when I want something and I want to do better in my recovery, I pursue it, you know, and I have worked with Dave Marquez is incredible. He's sponsored by Bob O. He's another big influence in my life. And Jose, who is a pastor, who a lot of you know, who's part of BBA, who's been a huge influence. And I want to name them because I don't everything you're going to hear from me didn't come from me. I learned so much from the people that have helped me so much. So when Mark came out here, Mark started coming out here 2-3 times a year, and he'd stay with me at my house. And I'll tell you stories as we go through the work about some of the crazy things with Mark, because, you know, Mark was very obsessive. You know, I mean, no one was more dedicated to really living the disciplines of this program as strict as Mark. No one I've worked with has ever, I've never seen anything. And some people say how obsessive he was, but you know what? It worked for him. And he was just an incredible teacher to me. And I was dying, and he saved my life. And when he first, when I first started working with him, and I want to share this with you, and some of you may have seen this, when I first started working with him, he said to me, well, he said, we're going to look at your present day agnosticism. And I thought, I didn't even know what it was, you guys, but I knew I didn't like that word, and I didn't have it. And I said, I don't have that damn agnosticism. He said, yes, you do. You know, honestly, I didn't even know what it meant, but I didn't like it. So I said, I don't, but he said, I did. So, you know, I was listening to him. So he gave me 2 inventories. These inventories are on the internet. You can download them. If you want to download them, or just do it off the internet and do either one of these this week to see where you're at and the unmanageability of your life, you can do it. It's a great inventory. He gave me first the tornado inventory. All you have to do is Google tornado inventory and you'll get it. I think Vanessa probably knows about it. Where are you, Vanessa? You probably know about it, right? And the tornado inventory and the unmanageability inventory. Put either one. They're both great. You can look at them both if you decide you want to do one. The reason I'm saying this is because if you do one of these, the tornado or the unmanageability. Mark had me do both of them. If you do it now, and then at the end of your 12 steps, or even when you're going into step 10, do it again and see the change of how different it is when you've gone through some of the work, because it was so different for me. And it was a great exercise to see how things changed, because I didn't even know, you guys, I never knew what the bedevilments meant. I was 12 years sober. I had no idea. I always thought the unmanageability was my external life. I never saw it. My life was so changed, and that I could not give away what Mark had given me. And I was on fire. And Joe knows, Joe was around the BBA in the beginning when it was first. And the BBA in San Diego, so many people want to know, the BBA in San Diego gave birth in the gay community. The gay community is, I think, more willing to kind of think out of the box and see things differently. So the first workshop I did was with the Gay and Lesbian Center in downtown San Diego. And I started doing workshops there for a few years. Then I moved to the Gay and Lesbian Club, and it just got too big for that room. And we were averaging 150 people at a meeting and at workshops, and it couldn't hold it. So then we moved to a bigger space after that. So it's been 18 years in San Diego. And just during COVID, we've probably taken 800 to 1,000 people through the work with workshops out of San Diego. Because, you know, Pat and Leanne, they do some workshops with 150, 200 people, right? And, you know, Alex in New York, she's doing a huge one too. So I thank God, first of all, that he gave me this blessing, and then he put it on my heart. And I used to call Mark after I had gotten the work with him. I would call him in Texas and I'd say, listen, I can't go to regular meetings anymore. They're, you know, I'm bitching. They're not sharing anything, and it's not out of the book, and blah, 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 blah. And Mark would just say, I don't want to hear it. Get off your ass and go create the fellowship you crave. And had I not had the pushes that I had from Mark to go and do workshops and go create the meetings and the fellowship that I crave, I don't know that I would have. But I was so on fire, because what had happened to me, I don't know if I ever had. I had these steps to the depth that I had it when I first did the Big Book Awakening, and many times after that, because I've done the Big Book Awakening probably 12 times. And, you know, each time I get to a deeper relationship with God, and each time I get more, to me, more love, more kindness, more understanding, more effectiveness. I get more compassion, more of the great qualities that are offered to me by this relationship with God in my life. And I try to go through, like I'm going to go through this time. Kimberly, who's up by there, you'll see her. She's my partner. And I'm also doing the work with Mariana from Scotland. So I'm going to go through the work myself. And it's good to go through with the question. You know, I've gone through enough with, am I an alcoholic? Maybe I'm not. Am I an addict? Maybe I'm not. So I'm kind of going through now. I'm praying and meditating on it, asking God, you know, for kind of a vision of how I want to go through, you know, and that it's kind of, and you've probably heard this, you know, can God take me further in every area of my life than I've ever been before? And that's kind of the theme that I'm seeing as I'm going through. And you may have one that you see, but I know that I want to keep a blank mind, and like the first page of the big book, to see what God's going to bring me, because I don't want to have preconceived ideas, because I'll miss too much if I have that, because this is a program of depth and weight, and the depth is the infinite of God. The depth is that there is no end to my relationship with God, whatever the God of your understanding is, that is infinite. Like it says at the end of We Agnostics, God is a source of infinite love and power. So the depth is the infiniteness, and the weight is my experience with it. That's what weighs, not my knowledge. It says on page 19, knowledge and experience on the bottom of the page. We need both. I need knowledge and experience, because knowledge will give me information and a revelation and then a transformation. I need both, but that experience will give me the weight. So this is a depth and weight. And I know that God is going to take me further, because he's proven it to me. And that this way, through the Big Book Awakening, and let me tell you this, people that I sponsor, they don't have to go to Big Book Awakening meetings. Big Book Awakening is not a fellowship. We are a group of people that found a way to do the work that we love to hang out together, and we do the work together. We sponsor people together, but we want people to do the work our way and take it back to their fellowship. Okay. And people, like I said, when I'm taking someone through the work, they have to attend a BBA meeting while I take them through the work. Once they're done with the work, they can do any program they want. They're not held to anything. You know, I want them dependent on God, and I'm there, of course, to help, but I want to depend on God. And one of the ways we're going to go through this workshop together is exactly the way I sponsor. And I have to say, it has been very effective the way that I do it. I've had good success with the people I've worked with. And it's because I believe not just me, but it's also the way that the Big Book Awakening is laid out, and the way that we do with the 1-2-3 questionnaire. So is my sponsorship effective? You know, are the people I'm sponsoring, is their sponsorship effective? Are they sponsoring? Because I don't believe that and some people don't know how to sponsor until they do the Big Book Awakening. And that is true. And when they do, sponsorship will be a joy, because you will see people's lives change so incredibly in front of your eyes that you won't believe it. And you know, when I got that at 12 years sober, one of the things I saw is that the people that I was working with, something was missing. I saw it. I didn't know what it was, but I knew, even before I knew it in me, saw it in them. There was something missing. But with a BBA, that in 18 years, that has, I've not seen that, or it does not happen. Not that I haven't had difficult times, but as far as sponsorship and the people doing it, the success of it has been, not that everyone stays or no one relapses, but the success overall is tremendous. Like it says in the Big Book, that their success rate used to be 50% and 25% relapse, and then 25% came back after relapse. It's a 75% recovery rate, which we have about a 7% recovery rate. But the recovery rate with BBA has been tremendous, and not just from me, but for Pat and Leanne and Josie and other people that sponsor a lot, Jan and Kylie. I mean, so it makes sponsorship a joy. And it used to be a little bit of a trudging road. Do you know what I mean? And now it's the highlight of my life. It's the bright spot of my life. So I hope if you have questions, you're going to ask them. I want to ask Joe to share how it came to him and what it's meant to him. And then I'll give you some more instructions. And we'll have, does anyone have any questions before Joe talks? Okay, Joe, to you, honey.
Did anyone have any questions? No? Okay. All right, I'm Joe C. I'm a crystal meth addict and alcoholic. And I'll just share a little bit about my experience with getting to this work. And I was introduced to AA through a treatment center in 2002, and I didn't get sober until 2007. So there was a lot of time back and forth in this program. I've been to 9 different treatment centers. I've been to meetings. I had sponsors go to meetings. I had commitments at meetings. And something was still wrong with me. I couldn't get it. I had the same sponsor as these other guys, and I would watch them get well, and I felt like I was getting worse, you know? I'd go to meetings. I heard all these slogans in meetings. I heard, you know, think it through. And I thought it through. I thought it through a lot, and I fucking did it anyway. I just heard easy does it, you know? I heard read the book, work the steps, call your sponsor. I called my sponsor lots of times on my way to get loaded, you know? Meeting makers make it. I'd go to meetings. I had commitments at meetings. They told me commitments keep you sober. I remember having this cookie commitment at the La Jolla Shuffleboard Club, and they didn't get their fucking cookies that day. You know what I mean? Because I was out drinking. What it was for me, it was like when the obsession was on me, I was out, you know? And I was getting worse. I felt like I was getting worse, and I didn't understand it. And I heard all these slogans, and they didn't really mean anything to me anymore. You know what I mean? Because I knew behind them there was some, like, bullshit there. Because I'm like, it just doesn't work for me. Like, I could repeat it. I could repeat back to you. I could tell you I'm an alcoholic. I could tell you I'm an addict. I really have no idea what that means. And I'm going to these treatment centers. I'm going to all these different sober livings, and I'm miserable, and it's not working. And I remember trying to change all this stuff because they said, change everything, change people, places, and things. And I'm like, okay, I'll change everything. And then here I am like, okay, I can't have money or else I'll use. And then I use anyway. And I better have money or else I'll use, and I'll use anyway. And I better not date, and then I get loaded. Or I better date, and I get loaded. It didn't matter. I got loaded no matter what. I just drank and used no matter what. You know, it was a no matter what thing. And the stupidest thing is that the slogan, don't drink no matter what. And I still hear that to this day. It's like, give me some fucking credit. Don't you think I tried that? That's why I'm here. That's why I'm going to meetings, is because I can't not drink no matter what. I can't not use no matter what. And I was very depressed. I took it all personal. I felt like I was responsible for all that stuff. I was responsible for the things I did. Don't get me wrong. But, I just felt so broken, and I'm sitting in treatment centers. I'm sitting there just broken, and everyone's like, oh, grateful to be sober. I'm grateful to be sober. And I'm like, what the fuck am I here to be grateful for? You know, there's nothing to be grateful for. It's miserable. And all I'm doing is waiting until the obsession comes back, and then I'm on another run again. And I had read the big book. You know, I'd sit in treatment centers, and what did you do? You didn't do nothing. I read the book, you know? So I knew what was in the book. It just didn't make sense to me. I didn't know what happened. I just couldn't put the pieces together. I'll put it that way. Because the one thing that came to me was the Big Book Awakening that seemed to put all these pieces together. So I was in my last treatment center, and I got introduced to the group that Tyler was talking about. She was doing a workshop at the Gay and Lesbian Center. Actually, it was a small workshop at the Gay and Lesbian Center, and I went to one meeting there. And I was like, this room is dark. These people are crazy. I didn't even understand what they were talking about. And then later it moved to the Alano Club. And I went to a meeting there, and I heard her talking, and I heard her saying things that I had read in the big book, but the way she was saying it, it just made sense. And I don't know if that was the time that I needed to hear it. I don't know what, but to this day, like what Tyler said, if you have not done the work yet, the warning is it may ruin your meetings. Your meetings may be ruined for the rest of your life. Because the things I was hearing in the meetings were not what I was hearing in this meeting. All right. And what they were saying in this meeting made sense to me. They were telling me I did not have the power to do it any other way. I had never heard that in a meeting ever. I had never heard that I was powerless, that I had a disease, that I had an obsession, that I had a craving and a spiritual malady. I had never heard any of this stuff. And I heard this stuff coming from Tyler, and it made sense to me. I finally got with the group and finally got with the big book. You know, it's just big book recovery. And I don't know if it was just the meetings I was going to, but I wasn't hearing big book recovery in the meetings. And so finally I got hooked up with someone who was talking about the big book that I had read, and it felt like the glue to all the pieces was just coming together. And the big book was talking to me in a different way now. And so when she's gonna talk to you in a little bit about how to do the work, there's some good pieces in there of how I would do the work. And I sit and I transcribe, and I would sit there. I would go to coffee shops. I would just sit in coffee shops and do my work and do my transcribing, because I needed this. And my ass was, I was so on fire for this recovery, because nothing was working, you know? And it was like the desperation of a drowning man. And so people would go out and they would do this like icky paw, wacky paw, gooky paw, whatever the fucking they're doing in these fucking groups and shit. And they're going to all these dances and stuff. And I'd be over at they're going to Cava, 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 whatever, whatever, whatever. And I'm going to the fucking, I'm going to coffee shops and I'm just transcribing. And I'm like in school, basically studying the big book and transcribing and writing things over and aligning my experience in the big book and doing this on a daily basis, you know, cause I didn't do it all in one sitting. I did it daily. And it changed my life. You know, it changed my life. I did not know what was wrong with me. And I think a lot of people in the meetings today still don't know what was wrong with them. They don't know that I have a disease that I can't do it any differently. I didn't know about this obsession. I knew it, I experienced it, but what I was hearing from the other people was not about you have an obsession, you have a disease, you have lack of power, you have a spiritual malady. I did not hear anything. I did not connect the dots to why I was writing inventory when I'm fucking shooting meth. It didn't make sense to me. I'm going in the rooms and like, write inventory. I'm like, what does it have to do with me sticking a needle in my arm? It does nothing. It does not make sense to me. This all connected everything to me. So my advice to everyone is, even if you, let's say something happens in your life and you have to drop out of this workshop, fine. But get with someone and finish this work. You need to finish the Big Book Awakening. You know, it will change your life if it hasn't already. And if you're going back through again, you know, welcome. If you're here to pick up ways to sponsor, welcome. You know, anything I can do to help anyone along this path, my number is always, I'm always available. If you just call me or text me, I'll get back to you. But this work, I couldn't get sober for 5 years. And now I have over 13 years sober, and it has literally changed my life in every aspect, in every way. And I mean, I was a gutter junkie. I was tweaking in the bushes. Everyone knows my story like that. I was fucking shooting meth in the bushes. I was fucking Tarzan, taking off all my clothes, running through the jungle, like out in the parks and stuff, naked, you know, because this is what I felt was I needed to do when I was high. I would go into alleys. I would go into public restrooms. I would go walking the streets. I would just walk the streets. I've walked everywhere. You know what I mean? And here I am, and I have a home. It's kind of interesting, but not the material stuff. You know, it changed me from the inside out. And I'm completely in debt to this process. I'm completely in debt to my sponsor, Tyla. And I love this work, and I'll be passionate about it for the rest of my life. So I'm going to turn it back to you, Tyla.
Well, Joe, why don't you talk about when you first were transcribing? How did you do it, and what was it like?
So it's a lot of work. So the assignments were, we would get the assignment each week. So I'd be in the workshop, and they'd say, here's the assignment. And this is what you need to do and have it ready for next week. So a lot of people would go and they'd wait till the last day before the workshop again. And my advice would be, don't do that. I think that doing a little bit every day was helpful to me. I would do at least 20 to 30 minutes a day. Sometimes it was an hour going through and transcribing. When I would look at the Big Book Awakening, I would read it first. I would read the sentence that I was looking for, and Tyler's going to show you that. I believe she has a with a Big Book Awakening, which is this booklet. So it has all this what we need to put in our big books there. I would read that first, be on the page that I'm reading in the big book, and I would read the big book until I found that line, and then I would write in the big book, I would change it to what the Big Book Awakening said. And they told me, and it says in the Big Book Awakening, we're not here to rewrite the big book. We're here to turn statements into questions to consider it ourselves. And that consideration made it alive for me personally. It turned this book of stories into my life. Like I could relate now. I could relate to all the stories in there, but I could relate it as my personal experience. Like when the doctor is talking about the allergy, did that happen for me? Did my experience abundantly confirm that when I put alcohol into my system, you know, everything that's asking me, I'm asking myself and I'm considering this. And I would write sentences down and I would take them into consideration. And I would be like, yep, that happened to me. Or nope, I wasn't like Bill there, you know, or yes, I was like Bill there. And I'm very honest with myself. And if I had questions, I asked questions. I didn't go along with everything. I'm very, confrontational. So if I had a question or I didn't like something, I didn't fucking like it. You know what I mean? And if I didn't agree with it, I don't know what they're talking about. And then I would be open-minded enough to take it into consideration, you know? And some things I was like, I can go along with it. And some things I was like, I can't believe that they're explaining this to me, you know, like this is so me, you know? So, I don't know. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, that was great. That was great. Yeah. Thank you. I want to just go over real quick about doing the homework and how it's going to be laid out. You know, if everyone needs to have the big book or the hardcover, whatever you want to write in. I do a hardcover big book. That was great, Joe. I do a hardcover big book. Everyone else does a big book because there's more room to write. You need the big book or the hardcover big book. You need there, Norm's holding it up. And you need the Big Book Awakening workbook written by Dan Sherman. And you need the sponsorship / assignment guide and the 1-2-3 questionnaire. I imagine everyone already has that stuff. The reason that you need the sponsorship assignment guide is it lays out all the assignments in a very easy to understand way. And when I'm working with someone, they have the sponsorship assignment guide and I want them to read me the assignment each week when we do it so that they begin to use that so that when they sponsor, they're already familiar with it. Because it makes sponsorship very easy and organized. You don't have to try to figure out how to put it together. It's right there in the sponsorship assignment guide. So the order of the homework is the way that I do it and suggest you do it is Leslie, you can get it, honey. Felicia will show you. It's up on the BBA Works free download. It is the sponsorship / assignment guide for the 1-2-3 questionnaire. You'll see it up there and you can just download it. Okay. This is what I first do and tell the people I work with to do is first transcribe. That's the first thing you're going to do is take and put the Big Book Awakening in your big book and you'll learn how to abbreviate your own way. Like it says, do I believe I put DIB. You're the only one that has to read this big book. So if you can abbreviate and make it work for you, do it. Because I abbreviate a lot of stuff as I learned to do it, you know, as I went through. So first I'm going to transcribe my big book. And then, I want to say this about transcribing. When people sometimes start this work, they look at the transcribing and they go, this is such busy work. Well, let me tell you, when I first did it, it was changing my soul. When I was turning statements into questions and transcribing that big book, I started to change right in my room where I wanted to blow my brains out 2 months before. Things inside of me were starting to get rearranged as I asked myself those questions because I had knowledge of the big book, but I didn't have a great understanding of it because I did not turn statements into questions. So don't think this transcribing is busy work because it is not. So I do the transcribing first, then I do the questions in the 1-2-3 questionnaire. Okay. Then you meet with your step partner to do the questions from the 1-2-3 questionnaire. If you want to read the chapter with your step partner, you can. It's your decision because I'm going to go over it in the workshop. Then you're going to meet in the workshop and Joe or I will be giving you a talk of our experience on the homework. And then you will have an experience with the group. So it is a four-part experience. Probably one of the most important ones is the one with this workshop group to hear the people's experience, okay? So anyone have any questions about that? You can stay unmuted if there's no noise, background noise, and if anyone has any questions, just speak up.
Yeah, I had a quick question. As far as going through it again, do you... Mm-hmm. I've heard it both ways as far as transcribing the book again, and then just taking notes and kind of building on what you've already have. What do you do like, going back through again when it comes to the transcribing?
Well, you know what? I say take it to prayer and meditation because you can do it either way. I don't tell people what they have to do. If you feel guided to transcribe another book in prayer and meditation, do it. If you don't, don't. I'm not going to tell you what to do because I want you to rely on your higher power. Okay. I don't say there's any one best way for everyone. Okay. I hope that helped or maybe didn't, but take it to prayer and meditation. This is a commitment. Look at the workshop like a commitment to a new meeting. Okay. Look at it like a commitment to a meeting. Each week is going to build on the next week. Each week will build. The doctor's opinion, the first part of Bill's story will build on the doctor's opinion. Second half of Bill's story will build on the first part of Bill's story. Each week will build on it. And one of the most important things is to stay where you're at in the work. Do not jump ahead. When I'm working, there's people here that I sponsor on this meeting, and they will tell you, when I'm working with people, I am not getting them ahead. I want them right in the doctor's opinion. I don't want to talk to them. Oh, well, this is going to happen if you do this, and give them those promises like carrots. I don't do that. So I want, most importantly for me, is stay where you're at in the work. Okay. If you want to put up your phone number in the workshop next to your name, please do. I suggest women call women, men call men. And I told you about the tornado. I think I covered everything. And you know, sometimes when I'm starting the work again, sometimes it starts kind of slow. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean, Vanessa? Like, you're like, oh, bro, this is a trudge. I'm doing the work again. But it slowly kind of picks up its own life, its own momentum. You know, as I get into it, it starts to go. So because I know a lot of people on here have done it before, and I'm so grateful that you're here, because, you know, I'm so happy to share my experience with you. I have a lot of experience because I have really sought great people. And I really want to share with you my experience, because at 31 years and 74 years old, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be doing workshops, you know, because sometimes it takes a lot out of me, more, you know, than it used to, you know. So I'm grateful to have this, because I want to go through the work also. RJ saying I'm going to live forever. Thanks, RJ. I love you. It's making you laugh. I have a couple of some considerations I just want to read you. Just a few that came to me that I think might be interesting. You don't have to write them down, but if you want to, I'll give them to you. You can call. And anyone in the workshop can call me or Joe for any questions. You can also call Kylie and Jan and other people too. Lots of people on this workshop know the work really well. Am I letting God discipline me along spiritual lines, living in obedience to the program and the steps? You know, it says in step 11, we let God discipline us along these spiritual lines. Am I really living that? Do I claim I have surrendered at the turning point? I've surrendered self-will at the turning point. Then I live like I was God worshiping. I live like I am worshiping what I want. Do I believe this is a life of obedience to spiritual principles and God's will and direction? Do I live that way? Have I finished all my 8-step list and my amends? Do I do the daily practices of 10 and 11? Am I actively sponsoring? Do my sponsees sponsor, and do their sponsees sponsor? And how are they doing at it? Am I iffy about really living the AA way of life, thinking I can control my not drinking like other people? Am I as powerless over alcohol and drugs today as I was when I came in? Or maybe it's changed. I hope that the idea that the last years of our drinking and using were fun and wonderful gets smashed, and we quit sitting around meetings talking about the good old times that we had the first 5 years of a 20-year drinking career. I hope that delusion gets smashed. Going to meetings and not drinking doesn't treat my alcoholism. You know, I have the kind of alcoholism and addiction that is beyond human aid. And that's what's different about a lot of alcoholism and addiction that happens in treatment centers. That's not beyond human aid. They're giving you human aid over and over. The alcoholism that I have is beyond human aid. And you guys know about step zero. Some people come in this program and they're in step zero for quite a long time, going around and around and around. Step zero is eliminating every idea except the two that will save my life: spiritual life or alcoholic death, or get a new job, right relationship, act out sexually. Step zero is a time before you completely give yourself to the steps of the big book and work a program. You don't have to drink to die an alcoholic death, literally or spiritually. Does anyone have any questions? Those are just some considerations that came to me. I'd love to hear the group share.
I do want to say a couple things, Tyler, really fast. Just to make sure everyone knows, if it's the first time through the work, that in the Big Book Waking, everything in italics is going into your Big Book.
Yes.
So everything italics should be in your Big Book. And we'll probably warn you in the assignments that are really congested, because there will be some when you get to like more about alcoholism and we agnostics, that you really got to go slow, because if you're what, Rick?
Sorry.
If your writing might be too big, you might need to get a fine point pen. Or if you're left-handed, you better be careful that you're not smearing everything. Little things like this, because I'm a lefty and I screwed myself a few times. So make sure that you're writing smaller, that you're not crossing out lines to cross out everything. You are just doing a slight line through it, because you still are going to read that with your partner. So when your partner and you are reading the Big Book, you're not reading it the changed way. It's too confusing to read it the changed Big Book Awakening way. You're reading the Big Book the regular way and answering the questions with each other. So you would share the questions from the questionnaire with each other, but you do not read it the changed way. That's for you and your own experience with turning statements into questions. When we go over the chapters, we will not be reading everything on every. So that's why it's important for you to read everything with your step partner, because we're gonna probably hit a lot of the highlights and the most important parts of those chapters. Right, Tyla? So make sure that you're giving yourself some space and you're writing in the margins. And feel free that if it says write this in the left margin and you already ran out of space in the left margin and you're spacing the top margin, then write it in the top margin. You can do whatever you want with your Big Book. And Robert, to answer your question, I've transcribed 4 Big Books. I've transcribed 4. So I think it was 5, one in Al-Anon. And I will tell you that since then, going over, I found it very, a lot of experience with just going back over the Big Book Awakening with my Big Book and going over the considerations and reading them to myself and considering them again instead of writing them out again. So it's up to you. Like Tyler said, take it to prayer and meditation, but I've done it 5 times and now I don't feel like it. I already know a lot of it. So it's up to you. That's all I have.
Yes. And also, you know, all my past workshops, I read everything. I read the whole chapter. And I am guided to do it a little different this time. I want to focus more on the main focus of each chapter so that we have more time for the open discussion meeting. So I'm going to be skipping around a little, and I don't think it's going to lose any of the content for you guys. But I just want to let you know, because I used to read the whole chapter and I'm not feeling guided to do that. And I'm going to follow that guidance this time, but you know, who knows, I could switch somewhere at. And one of the things I want to tell you is, in the beginning of BBA, we used to do whole chapters. We used to do all of More About Alcoholism, all of There Is a Solution, but it just became too much. The average time for homework, the way the sponsorship guide is laid out, is 2 hours of homework. And like Joe said, lay it out however you want, a little bit each day, do it all at one time, whatever you want. It's about 2 hours a week of homework, meeting with your step partner for about an hour, and then coming to the workshop. And otherwise, when we would be do like all of There Is a Solution, there's 2 very strong focuses in there. They finish the body, and then they switch to the mind. And to try to do those well in one session, in the beginning, we did it like that for years, but we split it up, and I think it's more effective that way. It adds a couple more weeks to the work, but I think it's more effective, and that's what we're looking for. So does anyone have any questions? I'd love to hear some of you guys share on your experience with the Big Book Awakening, because I know you guys have it, and to give some hope, you know, and you know,
I don't.
What?
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, I don't have a question.
But guys introduce yourselves when you share?
My name's Marie. I'm an alcoholic from Seattle. And Tyla is my sponsor. And my story is pretty much the same as Tyla's. I got sober in 1986. I did have 2 relapses, a couple years each. And when I came into BBA, I was 13 years sober, and I wanted to die. I went through one sponsor after the other, and I just wasn't hearing the message of hope, you know. And I'd always, you know, I'd sponsored a lot of people. I had, you know, a lot of service commitments. I did jails and blah, blah, blah. But when I went through the work of BBA, I got here through a different meeting, and it was, I just felt like I had come home. When Tyler and I started working together, I just felt this instant connection. And what she was talking about as we went through the book had so much meaning to me. And as we went through the book, it was the first time that I developed a day-to-day relationship with God. Like I actually have a relationship. I can't explain. Before, I felt like I was agnostic and I didn't even know it, because I thought there was a God, but I didn't think he would, you know. So I just want to say I went through the work, you know, but not too long ago. But when Tyler told me she was having a workshop and asked me to take someone through, I was like, yes, siree. And so I'm so excited for anybody that's new. If you stick with it, this will change your life. I promise.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Marie. Thank you for sharing, honey. That was beautiful. Who would like to share that's done the work?
Tyler.
Or not done the work? Anyone can share.
Yeah. My name's Norm. Alcoholic.
Hi, Norm.
Addict. Hey, so, here, let me just tell my little story. I'm from Elk Grove. Actually, Elk Grove, just out of Sacramento. Just moved up here last year. Lived in San Diego most of my life. I am an ARC graduate from 2010, 10 plus years sober now. That became a lot of my life.
Does everyone know what you're saying you graduated from?
The Salvation Army Adult Rehabilitation Center, downtown San Diego. Okay. And I was the intake coordinator there, all kinds of stuff. But anyway, the key to this is going to church and doing the things that we do and everything like that. But they seem to be more of an external thing. And I'll tell you what, in 2018, when I walked into the door where BBA was in Old Town, but somebody got me to go there. And I remember seeing Joe, and I remember seeing him speak, and Tyler saying, hi, baby, and giving me a hug. And I was just like, whoa, dude. And then you just sit there and hear all about God in that meeting. I'm like, you know, I just kind of like was like, thank you, God, for bringing me here. And so, you know, I went through the work, and I struggled through the work, and it took me forever. I want to be honest with you. It took me almost a year to do this work the way I did, things that are happening to me. So I'm eternally grateful to be here, to be able to go to this meeting with Tyler and Joe. But now I'm just like something I got to do. So I Googled the tornado exercise, and that it's like, I got to answer that, man, because like, if I don't answer that, I'm not doing myself a favor. So I got to answer this stuff.
Oh, I'm so glad you are, and read it to Jared.
Yeah, I am. I just told, we already just set up a time and everything. So, you know, I'm super stoked, you know what I mean? Because I just wrote some huge inventories on some relationship stuff that I've been dealing with. And I really dumped a lot of stuff, but I think I need more work. And so I know I do. So it's just, I'm grateful to be here. And I want to have this experience, but this tornado exercise, I never heard of till today. And I'm so thankful I heard about this, because now I'm going to be able to do some.
I'm so glad you too. We were doing it when Joe and I was around BBA. We used to have the tornado and unmanageability out on our table in Old Town.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to have it there. It's such a great exercise. I hope everyone that's going to do the work, you will have the time this week, because the homework assignment isn't that big. And you will have the time this week to do one of the tornado or the unmanageability. And I think that you will love it. It'll give you a good understanding of where you are at internally and externally right now.
I mean, one of these questions are, how successful are you at managing your sober life today? Have you been careless with your program? Not doing what you should be doing? What specifically haven't you been doing? I mean, if you answer these things truthfully and honestly, to that we're going to work on myself, as I said, I'm going to say this as I statement is what I need to work on myself. I kind of answer that and be like, okay, yeah, it's just, this is great. I'm super stoked at that, man.
Good. Yeah, you can take it into the guys you work with.
Yeah. I'm gonna do this myself, man. Understand it.
Who would like to share?
Tyla. Yes. Rick C. from, I want to say San Diego, but now from Rick Dallas.
Rick, I love you. Hi, honey.
Thank you, Tyla. I am one of Tyler's sponsees, and I'm grateful for that. I've been working with her now for almost eight years. My questions to you, Tyla, those considerations were really a great point, especially for me this time going back through the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually doing a new book and questions. It'll be the second time that I've done it since the first time I did it with you and Bernie. So can we get a copy of those considerations?
If you text me, I will text them to you, but I would prefer that you do the unmanageability or the tornado and not focus on those. I just kind of gave those considerations.
No, I like the idea for the prayer and meditation part that you mentioned when you were taking it to prayer and meditation, those considerations.
I said I take the prayer and meditation kind of a consideration of a general theme that I might be looking at going through the world.
Okay.
Why can God take me further? Not those considerations. I didn't say them so people take them. I prefer you put your focus on the unmanageability exercise or the tornado, because you will get more out of it.
No problem. And
if,
are we recording?
If you want
these?
I will give it to you. You know that, honey.
I know. Are we recording these as well?
Yes, it is recorded. Can you see the red light?
I don't see a red light, but okay.
Oh, I see a red light.
Top left says recording. Yeah.
Top left.
Okay.
Which we're being recorded, and I don't know when I'm going to put up the recordings. I may not put them up for about 3 weeks. Because I want people to be here. I want you to make a commitment, because one of the things I did, and that's why I sent the text out, is I wanted this to be a small group. I wanted the intimacy of a smaller group. I could have had 100 people, and I didn't want that, because I think something lacks. So that's why it's so important that I said that everyone that comes here has really considered it, because you may take the seat. I just turned two people away because it's full. In my book, the workshop is full, and I don't want more people. So I'm so glad that you're here, all of you, and I hope that you're committed, because your life is going to change beyond anything you could ever imagine. And believe me, it will change for the good. Because Dan Sherman used to say, I got all kinds of things these guys said. Dan Sherman used to say, this is a spiritual experience of the painful variety. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's painful, because I love doing the work. Who would like to share that you don't have to have done the work? And what I want to say real quick, you can come to the workshop any way you want. You want to be in your pajamas, you want to be eating dinner. I don't care what you do, as long as you're here in your life. I don't care if you're eating a hot dog in your pajamas, it's all great. Just be here with us, be comfortable and enjoy yourself.
Hey, Tyla, it's Donna. I'd like to share. I've never gone through the BBA workshop, but I've had the Awakenings workshop since 2001. So I had an experience going through with Loretta and Sydney, who had workshops in Harlem, and they had met Joe Hawk, and there was a guy in Staten Island, Larry Greenberg. So we had the big book for spiritual awakening. But I got to tell you, I've got a new big book. I've been working with people since 2000, my first year in AA. I'm very blessed that, unlike a lot of you guys, I didn't sit in the room sick. Mm-mm. God presented me with a recovered alcoholic, and I was willing. So I wasn't planning on going through the work right now, but I'm glad I am. You excite me. I am looking to see how much deeper, how much more truth God is going to reveal about me. In total honesty and transparency, Vanessa knows this, I have been struggling with cigarettes, and I've got to see my powerlessness with cigarettes, because I'm willing. But I don't know if you know Herb C., but he has this great powerless prayer and says, God, I want to surrender, but my ego won't let me. And that's how I feel with these cigarettes. So I'm grateful. I'm here 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, but that's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for sharing. I'm so glad that you're here with us. And you know, that reminded me of something. When you're going through the transcribing your big book, if you're a heroin addict and an alcoholic, right, you need to write heroin above alcohol. If you're a heroin addict and not an alcoholic, put a line through alcohol, write heroin above it. If you're meth and alcohol, put meth above alcohol also. Make this book your own. If it's cocaine, put cocaine and alcohol, whatever it is that you do. You might want to put cigs of yours. But you can get free. Lots of us have. I got free of cigarettes. So you can get free. Who would like to share? You don't have to have done the work. If you're just here and you want to say something, please do.
Hi, I'm Vanessa. I'll say hi.
Hi, Vanessa.
I think Joe had his hand up for something.
I was just gonna mention the set aside prayer that in the Big Book Awakening, each section has a different set aside prayer. Mm-hmm. And make sure you guys are using that set aside prayer because it's really powerful, especially if you've already been through the work and you want a new open mind and a new experience. I think that prayer guided me a lot. So I just wanted to share that. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Vanessa, alcoholic and all kinds of stuff. and here, I'm so happy to be here. I'm gonna be looking tired every night, but that's okay. You guys wake me up. So I'm gonna be like, we'll have to adjust my Wednesday morning, that's for sure. But I've been through a couple times for AA. I've been through for Al-Anon as well. And I've led a workshop in New York and co-led, and I've sat in on a couple during this COVID time that came out of Sandy. I sat in on Jared and I also was a step guide on the other one for Al-Anon. Felicia was on. So I'm gonna not also remember things.
You mean Vinny and Michaels? You mean Vinny and Michaels?
No, who was it? Danielle and Vinny. Yeah, Vinny and Michael. Vinny and Michael. Yeah. So I was the step guide for the Al-Anons and that. And that was great too. And I still work with those ladies that I went through with Al-Anon. We ended up staying on and doing the whole 164, which was fun. And I did that with some people from the workshop that I led also. So it was really cool to like continue the considerations. That was really great. But I'm so excited. I'm really excited that you have a focus of working with others also. That's just like, because I found that was like a really nice sort of extra benefit that I wasn't expecting from BBA, was having this real guide. I mean, I remember when I first was working with the sponsee, it was like, I don't think I took good notes because I don't know what to do. It was like, and my first sponsor wasn't even that far off from the work necessarily, you know, but it wasn't, you know, super clear. It was definitely a game of telephone. And then I got sort of the end of that, my first time through the Big Book, but it's so helpful to have a guide, you know, to work with others. And it's just, that's, if you know, that's just like, to me, that's kind of a side note in a way, because there's so much that opened up for me with going through in this way. Like this just opened the door, you know, because there's so much, and obviously we don't have a monopoly on how to do AA or how to get sober or anything like that. And Tyler, you reiterated that to me many times. Mm-hmm. But what it did is it opened me up, you know. I have a sponsor who says, when she was talking about heartbreak, she said it broke me open for God's love to come in. And I feel like that's what happens here, is I break open so God's love can come in, you know, and it's just so, it's unbelievable. I'm just so excited about being able to go through it again, and to go through with you and Joe is like super special, because I mean, you heard when I first came on that first meeting, I think Kylie might have been on too, where I was crying my eyes out in COVID, because I was like, I'm looking at you guys, you put me to sleep for years, you know, because I would listen to the tapes and stuff. And so, you know, that was one of the things when lockdown happened, I was like, we all got on Zoom in New York real quick. And I was like, wait a second, they might be in California. The most amazing thing, I remember that, just that feeling. And you had asked me to speak, Tyler, like early on, like maybe like a couple weeks later or something. And I listened to that like several months ago, but I listened to it again and I could hear in my voice like how excited I was. And just so, it's just so funny to like listen to stuff like that. It's hilarious to me, but I could hear just how, because it just, you know, it was, I don't know. It's, you guys all know. I mean, I don't have to say. It's just very moving. And like I said, it just, there's no other better way to put it to me, for me, than to like say that it broke me open, you know, for God's love. And I'm just so excited to break open more, you know, and see what happens. So I'm excited for everybody that's on here too. And I love the smaller group. The big groups are challenging, I gotta say.
Yes.
So I don't think I would do a workshop that way. Bless the hearts of all the people that do, and the people that work them and get something from them. But I love this group. I'm really excited. So thank you.
Thank you. Who would like to share, check in? And
my name's Dylan. I'm an alcoholic.
There you are. Hi, Dylan.
Tyler, Joe, you know, I can't say how, you know, grateful I am to be here with you guys. You know, my journey started in the BBA, you know, back in 2009, but I've never been able to pull it through and get all the way through the work. You know, life would happen and I would get caught up with school or whatever, you know, and last time I tried to get through the work, Joe and I tried to do it. That was before COVID. So we were trying to do like FaceTime stuff, but it was tough. And, you know, I was still in school. So I'm taking a gap year right now. It just, everything's like the stars just aligned, you know, and, you know, here I am 3,000 miles away from my home, you know, San Diego. And it's just awesome to be able to, you know, do this. So I'm really grateful for that. I'm looking forward to, you know, this transformative process. You know, and it's been something that I've been wanting to do for a very long time. And so I guess that's all I got. So here's to the next 5 or 6 months or whatever this is going to be, you know.
Thank you.
I'm ready for it.
Thank you. Who would like to check in? Anyone from San Jose? We haven't heard from our San Jose crew.
I'm RJ, alcoholic.
Hi, RJ.
Hi. My sobriety date's October 28th, 1993. And I'm around 22 years sober. I was dying inside again. I was in depression and I had Hep C at the time. And I was, had just started the Hep C treatment, but I here's really how it happened is my wife was doing it with Kathleen going through the steps. Me and my wife had the same sobriety date and I seen something changing in her. So I wanted, you know, it looked attractive. I mean, I've been through the book, but not this way ever. So Darcy, I've been working with Darcy for the last 4 years. Darcy led a smaller group with four people and I jumped in with that. And I'm going to tell you what happened at first is the work, you know, the transcribing, I was like, I'm never going to teach this shit. This is bullshit. That's just where I was. I was in that first step in manageability, pissed off, angry, and something started changing. Like I've heard you and several other people say when I started doing the work. And then around the fourth step, I was on fire again. And it's the inside work, right, that happens, the transformation that we've talked about in the spirit started flowing in again. And then I started teaching a one-on-one when I was in the middle of a four step. That's not recommended. That's just where I was, and shit's taken off ever since. I've had the privilege of working with a lot of men. I've taught four different workshops and a bunch of one-on-ones, and I have the privilege of in the middle of COVID, I actually started one with Fernando and a couple other guys and Dominic and then we finished that one. And then I've started another one since. We're getting ready to drop some fifth steps this week. And it's just it's a beautiful thing. And the experience that you get with the, you know, transcribing statements, questions in the statements or however the hell it goes, this beautiful thing happens on the inside. Right. And it's this, I mean, I want more. And I'm really, it's really a blessing and a privilege to be able to listen and work with you guys and take it further, have God take us further than we've ever been. And I think Dominic wants to share something.
Dominic from San Jose, and thank you for letting me in. So I've been going in and out for 30 years and, you know, in and out of AA, sponsors, going through the book, and I just could not stay sober. saw a couple of sponsors that RJ had and told me about the BVA and just how their lives were going, you know? And so I ran them out, I chased them out of meeting and started doing the work, got into the group with Darcy and Kathleen and RJ, and there's so much spiritual growth. And, you know, I after going through the first time, I know that I can go a little bit further this time. So I'm just here to see how have God take me further than I've ever been.
That's right. That's awesome. You're so right. God will take us all further than we've ever been before. You know, it's me connecting to God in every single piece of the chapter. And when I'm working with new people, because the main purpose of me doing workshops in general, I always want to focus on the way that I sponsor, because that's to me what all our focus is. It's not just about me, but it's about how do I, and RJ is so effective in passing it on, and Joe and so many people on here are, you know, but how do I do that? And when I'm working with a new person, I'm talking about prayer and God from the beginning, because it says so in working with others. It's very clear to talk to them about the spiritual side of this life. So I'm always talking to them about it from the beginning, because I want them to be able to begin praying through their work, you know, because they're going to get guidance from God, their higher power. They're going to get guidance, you know, from me, but also from their higher power, because their reliance needs to be on God. And I try to start that right away, you know, where they'll call me and they'll say, oh, this is going on. And I say, okay, take it to prayer and quiet time for 3 days and call me at the end of that 3 days. Because they begin to get results. They begin to see that there is this power that will speak. Checking it with me in the beginning, because, you know, we can get off on a wild hair, you know. So, you know, like, you know, God didn't tell you to date that married man. No. God didn't tell you that, right? I dated a lot of married men, not in sobriety, but, you know, so we can help them to see, you know, is it from God or is it from the devil? So we got to help them discern, because remember, Bill worshiped the devil before he worshiped God in his Bill second half of Bill's story. Anyway, anyone like to share?
Ryan, alcoholic. Hey.
Hi, up. Ryan. Ryan, right, go on.
Good. You sure? All right.
Sure, honey.
So my experience with the BBA, RJ took me through first time, a couple years ago. I can't really remember, maybe longer. And, I took, someone through, didn't make it all the way, and then kind of veered off course from the BBA and, kept with my men's, workshop. And, you know, I've had ups and downs in sobriety, and that kind of seems pretty typical. You know, I'll be up and I'll be down, I'll be up and I'll be down. And yeah, just, I guess this time around, you know, it's harder to be in the pain, you know, even a little bit of pain, it just doesn't feel good. So I ran into RJ, you know, perfect timing. And he was talking about this workshop, and I said, I want to do it, you know, because I just need something different. You know, I want to go through it again and see what's in store, you know, maybe some growth has happened, you know, inside of me during these last 3 years where, you know, some more is going to be revealed to me, and maybe it'll make more sense this time around. I'm looking forward to not having to transcribe. I'm not going to take that to prayer or meditation. I really just want to focus on, you know, everything else. And I'm really happy about the sponsorship guide, because I'm taking somebody through right now, and I do feel like, shit, I don't know what else to, you know, I don't know what to do. Am I doing this right? So I forgot all about that, you know, with the BBA. Mm-hmm. So that's, I'm really looking forward to that, you know, because I told him I'm going to sponsor him through this while I'm doing this workshop.
Well, do you want to bring him on?
No, he's got too much stuff going on right now. Yeah, he's, yeah, he can't do the commitment, but I appreciate you asking.
So, oh, sure. I wanted to
That's all I got. I'm happy to meet her.
Thank you for sharing. And, you know, that's one of the reasons the sponsorship assignment guide came about is I saw in the early workshops, you know, I did BBA the first time and then I turned around and did it again because I needed to do it twice back to back. There was so much stuff that needed to kind of be worked through in me and I needed to understand it better. But I saw that when people would do the work and then they would sponsor, that's where it started to fall apart. So that's where the sponsorship guide came about. I wanted them to have a guide that they would have in their hand that would have the whole thing laid out and it would be easy for them and for the sponsee to also use the guide. And then they would have it laid out and it would be more effective than it has been. So anyone want to share?
Hi, I'm Veronica, and I'm an alcoholic. And
hi, Veronica.
Hi. This is somewhat of my third time being here. The first time I came to BBA, my sponsor thought that I should go to BBA. Mm-hmm. And I was taking a class then. I think I was kind of rebellious. I was in my first year. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the transcription, you know, but I love what I heard, and I love going through the book, and I love working with a partner. I finished the whole thing, you know, and it was cool. You know, I learned more in BBA. I feel that I need to have a full experience. This time, I'm really happy to be here, you know, because mm-hmm. I want to be, you know.
That's right.
And I'm grateful that my sponsors are also my sponsor sisters, you know, and another dear friend, DH, you know, and that I get a chance to you know, see what I've missed by being rebellious before, what I've missed in experiencing the whole experience. And so I'm glad I'm here.
I'm so glad you're here too. Thank you, honey. I wanna share one thing and then Kimberly's gonna share.
Thank you.
You know, when I started working with Mark and Dan Sherman, Mark was out of Denver. His best friend was Joe Hawk. Joe Hawk and Mark and Bobo were all sponsored by Don P. of Denver, the Denver Young People's Group that started years before. Book Culture, AA Culture, 12 steps every year. And I had never heard anything like that in my life. I heard do the 12 steps once, live in 10, 11, and 12. If you get in enough pain, you do a 4-step. That is not the way these guys live. And that's the way I began to live. As I've done it more and more, I do all 12 steps probably every 2 years or 2.5 years or 3 years now. Or if I feel guided, I would do it. If I do it this time, which I'm doing it, and then next year I feel guided again, I would do it again. But there's no more sitting and resting on my laurels for 5 years or 6 years or doing this crazy thing where, because I didn't know different. But these guys, these big book thumpers out of that Denver, that's the way they did the work. And I think it's life changing. And I wanted to say that, Veronica, because I honor you that you're here and that you're back to do it again and knowing that God will take you further. And I'm so glad you're here, honey. Kimberly?
Thank you, Tyler. Hey, my name's Kimberly. I'm an addict alcoholic and very grateful to be here. I have not done work. So I'll lead with that. This is my first exposure to BBA. I kind of was led here through the COVID Zoom thing. But I was definitely relating and identifying with a lot of people's experience when Tyler was talking about, you know, hearing the Mark Houston tapes. I could really identify with that. That 5.5 years right now, but before that, I was sitting in the rooms, mostly AA, some NA, but at the end of the day, I had over 10 years clean and sober the first time, and I was absolutely miserable. And it just, you know, I didn't know then that I was sitting in the bedevilment. I'm starting to hear more and more about that just through kind of exposure to Tyla and BBA and all that other stuff. But I'm thirsty for this. I can't wait to hear more. One of the things that I love so far is that this experience has been unique so far in that Tyla has not, I'm used to sponsorship with, I'm just gonna say what it is. I'm used to a fair amount of control, right? I don't wanna say ego, but we all have one, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I love about Tyla and Tyla's approach is that from the very beginning, she just quickly got me turning back to God. It was something my agnosticism, that's something for me, God has always been kind of touch and go. When I'm connected, when I'm open, it's the power that really works for me. The problem is, for me, I've got a spiritual malady. And so when I sit in these meetings and they tell me that social acceptability equals recovery, I start thinking, well, what the hell is wrong with me? And I start feeling like, well, you know, I've got all this outside stuff, because I do. I got some really nice toys at Grant. But here's the thing. I can have all those really nice toys and still want to blow my head off because I have a spiritual malady. So those really nice toys and being socially acceptable, being cute, being, you know, whatever, being nice, so polite, and oh, doesn't everybody love you, going to the parties, da da da. That isn't going to stop me from wanting to, from going home and having these really dark moments and wanting to blow my head off. And what I found after 10 years is if I do that long enough, at a certain point, the thought will occur to me, just like the big book says, the thought will occur to me to use again. And I have no effective mental defense against it. That's what I found. That's what I experienced. So I used for a couple years. Here I am back again, 5.5 years. And I was starting to feel, I could already tell I was starting to go down that very same path. So I heard, I started audios of Leanne and Tyla, Pat T, and instantly I was like, that's it. And then Zoom happens. I heard Tyla speak and I saw her number up there. So I was like, I assumed she meant it. So, so I started sending messages, and you know, and since I've heard in BBA meetings, like folks who are like, oh, I wanted to work with Tyla, but she told me she was too busy. She you know, doesn't have time, this, that, and the other, because everybody wants to work with Tyla. And I'm thinking to myself, well, damn it, you probably don't give her a choice, you know? Glad that that whether it was desperation or God, because sometimes they can sound the same, I'm very grateful that something told me to just start texting you, just start reaching out. And then when I found out you were doing this workshop, I sold. So I am thirsty, I'm all in, and I'm super excited. And I love you and I thank you.
Thank you so much, honey. That was beautiful. Bo, I see Bo here. Bo, do you have a partner?
Yes, ma'am. Hey, y'all. I'm Bo. I'm from Dallas. My partner is Jerry.
Good. Okay. I want to make sure. I wanted to say hi to you. How are you?
I'm well, and yourself? I'm actually in Fort Lauderdale right now. We kind of left for the weekend, and we got stuck over here because everything's frozen back home.
Well, it's a good place to be stuck in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. It's 84 degrees right now, so.
Well, I'm glad you're here, honey.
Thank you. This is my first workshop, so I've done some of the steps on my own. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of my first workshop and my first time actually, you know, like having a sponsor and working through the steps.
Well, I'm glad because it's going to change your life.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Well, it's going to be great. I'm glad you're here. Who would like to share? If no one wants to share, we will close the meeting. But if someone wants to share.
My name is Robert. I'm an alcoholic. I was just.
Hi, Robert. Go on.
I went through the work the first time with Joe in a small workshop. And, you know, I had this profound experience that I thought there's no way I could ever find myself in the same situation or feeling the same way after that. And just a delusional thought, I guess, because as I'm sitting here thinking about going through the work again, there's a part of me that just, like, I don't really want to know, you know what I mean? What's more, I got to be honest, there's that part that just doesn't want to push further. It doesn't want to change, you know. I don't know if that makes sense. Even though I know I need to and it'll be good, and once I'm through it or going through it, you know, I'll be, I don't know, I'll have thought, why did I wait so long? That kind of thing. But it's like, I don't want to see what God has next. You know, does that make sense? I don't know if that's the best way to put it, but.
Well, what habits don't you want to give up? That's usually
I think what he's saying is that he's at a good place and he's very comfortable and he doesn't want to shake it up. Is that what you're here saying?
Well, or I have a lot of things that I feel like are going good and maybe they won't stay going good.
Well, one thing we know that will go good is that you will gain more trust in your higher power than you have in this moment, because you're trusting yourself right now, which is okay. But you know what I mean? Can you put that indecision and that battle you're in the hands of your higher power? Does that make sense?
So. Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Maybe you can set it aside.
I'll use the prayer and go forward. So.
But one of the things is, I love what you're saying, Robert, because I think a lot of people on the workshop right now struggle with that, because one of the things is, it's kind of going into the unknown, you know, right? What I mean, and mm-hmm. saying what I know is better than what the unknown, right? Mm-hmm. It's always right. better to be in the known than the unknown. But when you've had the experience of the people on here, and that's why the experience of people and the people, you know, that my life has only gotten better every time through the work. Okay, so that's what where it says the depth and weight of the program. The depth is the infinite of my relationship with my higher power, and the weight is my experience with it and the experience of others. So I hope that you can look to some of us to see how enthusiastic we are to do it, and maybe, you know, you can do it without being excited about doing it.
Yeah. Just a caution too, my experience has been, my spiritual malady lies in my comfort. I feel like the more I want to stay comfortable, I don't want to change, mm-hmm. I don't want to do anything more, I don't want to go further, I might be in a malady state. And it's been that way for me, because then I start going through the work and I'm like, holy crap, I have all these resentments going on that I didn't even know about. Until I'm right, you know, like Tyler says, my Christmas list in December becomes my resentment list in February, you know, and that's just the way it is. And here I am writing all this resentment inventory on these people that I was just loving and giving gifts to in December. But here, I didn't know I even had them. I didn't even know I was operating out of all this fear until I'm looking at it in black and white in my fear inventory, in my resentment inventory. And I'm just sitting there in comfort, but I'm resting on my laurels. And that's what that is. So it's setting aside the fear to be able to move forward and use that set aside prayer to go with it. But looking back, I see God in all that, you know what I mean? And I see how I've recovered through pushing forward and working the steps again, whether I want to or not sometimes. So thank you.
Thank you. We're going to close in a couple at 8:30. Does anyone else have any questions? I just want to give you a couple considerations for your homework.
Hi, Tyler. I just wanted to say I'm Mariana, and I'm really excited about doing the Big Book Awakening.
I'm so excited you're here. Can you speak up a little, Mariana?
I've had the Big Book Awakening workbook for years, and I've never used it. And very excited to be here, really wanting to go deeper, just deeper. Like you said tonight, I'm beyond human aid. I'm absolutely beyond human aid. I need to go deeper. So thanks very much.
Everyone, I want to say happy birthday, Mariana. 2 days, she's 22 years sober.
Oh, happy birthday. Woo-hoo!
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, baby.
Happy birthday.
Any other questions? Okay, your homework assignment is the first assignment, it's the circle and triangle, the preface and the forewords. And considering where you are in the circle and triangle will be part of the discussion next week, because Joe's going to share on it. And I use that circle and triangle like a compass. It gives me an idea of where I'm at, and I meditate and consider it once every 2 weeks, once a week, something like that. Where am I at in the circle and triangle? Because that's important. In the preface, it says that this is the AA way of living. And what does that mean to me? That's a great consideration. What does the AA way of living mean to you? Okay. Just a couple of considerations that we may focus on next week for the discussion meeting. Does anyone have any questions? And we will otherwise pray out. And I want to tell you, I do not use the seven-step prayer or the third-step prayer when I'm working with people individually until I get to the place that I use them. I do not want to use this either prayer until I get to the third step and the seventh step, because the specialness of the prayers kind of become fogged over, if that makes sense to you. So I do use the serenity prayer and the set aside prayer, and I save those until we do them. So I wanted you to know that, because I want them to be special.
Tyler, okay? I'm sorry. I just wanted to check what do you want us to have done for next week?
The first assignment, which is the circle and triangle, and the preface and the forewords. It's on the sponsorship assignment guide, first assignment. And I really hope that you guys consider to take the time to do either the unmanageability or the tornado. I think it will give you, and Robert especially, because that can give you a gift of desperation. And desperation is a gift.
Be honest Hopefully. About where you're at in the circle and the triangle.
Yeah. It's yeah. Well, right. I think I need the power of God, to be honest. It's not something that comes that natural. I really can delude myself, and I have a long-term sobriety, and that may not sound very hopeful to you guys, but it's the truth. You know, so we're going to pray out. I want to, before we pray out, I would like, Jan, you're on the line. I'd like you to give us a few minutes share about what BBA meant to you.
Yeah, I'd love to. my name's Jan. I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. And I live in San Diego. And I was very fortunate that when I moved down here about coming up on 5 years now, I was introduced to Big Book Awakening pretty much right away. And, welcome to anybody that's new or doing this for their first time. And, you know, when I first got to BBA, there's a lot of things that I didn't really like. I was very uncomfortable with the way that people talked about God, and but I could see that there was something different in the way that they carried themselves, and the love that they brought into the meetings, and I wanted to feel that, and I did just AA steps before doing the Big Book Awakening, and I had an experience, but I still had a lot of a lot more that I needed. You know, I wasn't fully cracked open, like it's been said by a few people on here tonight. And, I recognized that, because I would still get really resentful. I would still get really angry. I would fly off the handle. I still had road rage. And like, I just wasn't living. I didn't feel connected. You know, I was still living in my head a lot. And, I had the opportunity to go and do a workshop with Pat and Leanne. And I remember the first time driving down there, it was about a 50-minute drive for me. I think it was a Tuesday night in traffic. And I was like, fuck this. Like, I don't want to do this again. But I got down there and I heard Pat share, and I heard him talk about having a relationship with God. And I heard him say that he speaks to God, and God speaks back to him. And I believed him, you know, I believed him. And I was like, I left that first meeting. I was like, man, I got to do this. I got to do this. And I'm so glad that I did. And when I look back on my life and, since I've been sober, you know, being involved with Big Book Awakening and meeting Tyla and all these wonderful people, it's like, I see God written all over it. And I get so much gratitude just recognizing, God's hand in my life and the path that he's put me on. And, this work has really transformed me. You know, it's really, really changed me. And like Joe was saying, it kind of put the pieces together for me. You know, like I kind of could understand the book and some of the fundamentals of the program, but like this really grounded it in my heart, in my mind, where it's like, I know that this is what I need. And now I have a better understanding of what my disease is. I understand how to treat alcoholism, you know, and it's not something I treat necessarily myself. Like I got to do some legwork. But I just do what is laid out in front of me, and then God comes in and just rearranges my heart. And then slowly but surely, my external life starts to change and my relationships start to change. And Man, it's such a gift that we have, and I'm so grateful for it. And I could just go on and on, but I just wanted to share for a few minutes. But I want to welcome anybody that's new, because this thing will 100% guarantee change your life if you let it, you know. So thank you.
Thank you, Jan. Thank you, Kylie, for your service tonight. We will be on after we pray out. If anyone has any questions, we will stay on for another 10 or 15 minutes if you have any. And, you know, feel free to call myself or Joe if you have questions. So would you like to take us out, Kylie, in the Serenity Prayer?
Sure. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. Yay, God. We'll see.